How's the weekend, man?
Oh, it was fantastic. With the weather like it is, it was beautiful.
Experimenting with any kind of different beer you want to recommend?
You know, I just went with some of the classics. In fact, there's one called Bell's Oberon, which is out of Michigan. And it's, I think, one of the quintessential Midwest summer beers.
Gotcha.
It's a wheat. It's a wheat ale. It tastes like a little bit of summer in the bottle.
Okay.
How about you?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I worked. Most of the day. I was quite surprised that everybody actually showed up.
That's good. That means they're committed to their goals. You know, they're not going to let a holiday get in the way.
Absolutely. So that was great. I was like, you know, wow. These. I think I got a hook in them.
Hey there. Welcome to Beer, Beats, and Business, where the art of conversation is back in business. Now pull up a chair next to Dee Fish. He's a speaker, author, business coach, basically all-around professional talker. And he's chatting with some of today's top entrepreneurs, authors, artists, executives, you name it. They might discuss business technology or what's playing on their headphones. Who knows where the conversation will take them? So grab a glass and join us on Beer, Beats, and Business.
Having fun while you're, you know, doing what you're doing, like walking or riding a bike or something like that, that to me is probably the best approach to wellness.
That was Dietrich Horsey. Dietrich is the owner of D21 Personal Training here in my hometown of Evanston, Illinois. And I was really excited to have Dietrich on the show today because I love his approach to personal training. In fact, he always calls himself a fitness professional because he knows that it's so much more than just getting swole. It's about really taking care of your body so that your body can help you take care of your life. And he's got a great approach to really living a balanced and healthy lifestyle. My name is David Fisher, but everyone just calls me D Fish. I'm a speaker, author, I'm a business coach. But most importantly, today, I'm going to be your host on Beer, Beats, and Business. So let's get it going.
Dietrich, how are you today?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
Oh, I am, as always, living the dream.
Awesome.
And it's a beautiful day here in Chicago, so today is a good dream, right?
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, it's been a couple good days, so I guess the whole weekend has been almost like a dream.
Yeah, which also means that's the summer here in Chicago, and so then we're going to go to fall.
Right, really quick.
Yeah, we're done. You only get a week. All right, so Dietrich, here's my question for you. What do you think the connection is between physical fitness and total well-being?
Well, to me, fitness is more about, you know, I guess, like, what you do physically. That, to me, that's fitness. Well-being is what you do almost on the outside of the gym, like, you know, eating well and, you know, and basically just walking and things like that. To me, that's more how to do with wellness. That's something to do most of the time. When you get right down to physical fitness is, you know, you spend maybe like an hour in the gym two or three times a week. That, to me, is more about fitness. Well-being is what you do on the outside of the gym. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're working with clients, what do you do in the gym to make their well-being out of the gym better? Like, what do you see as your job to take that little bit of time you have to kind of improve all the facets of their life?
Well, I think it all begins from the start for me. I mean, and here at the studio, what we basically start off with is what is personally, you know, going on with that particular person. So everybody's well-being, it's almost like wealth. It all depends on the person, you know, the perspective of what that is.
Okay.
I mean, so, you know, so I was, you know, suggest that, you know, if you're having problems with or challenged with, you know, eating correctly or eating the right portion or getting enough activity, then we kind of start from there. And then I would build my program based on those things to make sure that you're not overdoing it as well, you know, because you can overtrain, you know,
okay,
too. So you can overdo physical fitness. So it should be a nice balance between both of those. So I would suggest, you know, certain things for them to do outside. And my main three things, you know, that I tell the clients, especially starting off to kind of get them on the right track, is one, don't eat from 8 to 8, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. You buy enough time to digest your food, you know, until in the morning. And the other thing is basically watch portion control And the other thing is make sure you choose better or healthier foods. That's it. To me, that's total wellness outside the gym.
So that's pretty simple.
It's pretty simple. And it should be simple.
What do you think people get wrong? Or let me ask you even this way. When you tell people that you're a fitness professional, what are some of the misconceptions about fitness that people have? Like, what are some of the things that people tell you, like, oh my gosh, that's so wrong?
You know what? I tend to think that it's almost like anything. I mean, there's good and bad ways of doing things. And I'm keeping this, you know, very light as far as, you know, because I don't like to say it's wrong just because it's almost like, you know, I don't really understand everything.
Sure.
And so I can't really say it's wrong. It may not be conducive to what they want to achieve. Now, that might be like the incorrect path to go. I can say that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But say it's wrong.
Right.
I don't know about wrong. I mean, I think most people kind of know instinctively what to do. I mean, we got enough information there. You know what I mean? And I think they just don't listen to that inner voice that's saying, you know, okay, this is too much or this is too little, you know, that kind of thing. Like taking a heart rate, you know, we do that too. And it's like, you know, there's really no scientific proof that 220, whatever that is, you know, it actually dictates where your fat burning zone is. So to me, it's like, you know, exercise.
Wait, so all the elliptical machines are wrong?
You know what? I think it's like, in the industry, you know, there's a lot of things that are misconceptions that are, you know, it's like laws, you know, there's laws that are probably outdated. You know what I mean?
Sure. Okay. That makes sense.
So it could be one of those kind of things that somebody passed along and said, this is the way we do it. And everybody's kind of follow suit because it's easier than changing the whole system.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? To me, it's like, you know, okay, I know I worked up a sweat, so I probably did pretty good. You know, I know I got my heart rate up. I don't have to kill myself, but yet I know I work pretty hard because I feel it. That's
right.
A no-brainer. Do that. You know, do that.
Oh, no, absolutely. Do you think that, so it's funny, you said a couple times, like, don't push yourself or don't overtrain. Do you see that happen a lot where people think they kind of have to go to that no pain, no gain? If it doesn't hurt, I'm not doing it right. Do you still see that a lot?
Yeah, it's that thing about, you know, okay, it's worked for these people back then and this, that, and the other. Can we really say it worked? Well, it worked to a certain degree, yes. Is it something you want to do all the time? It all depends on what you're training for. You know, that's where,
okay.
That's
sure.
Where function comes in. You know, they say functional training. Well, see, if you are a racquetball player or something like that, well, functional training for you would be to do some of the movements that help, you better your game. So that'd be a different kind of training altogether. So.
Right.
Need to go to the extreme with that either? No, but you need to probably push yourself a little more in certain areas, but not all areas, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. It's interesting. I don't think a lot of people know that I actually teach fitness as well. Not to your level, but, you know, I teach Zumba classes.
Okay.
And one of the things that I've always found intriguing, especially with group fitness, you kind of get this really interesting breadth of people in the class, and you always have, like, the people that are just there to have a good time and move a little bit. You get the kind of beginners, and then there's always those couple people that are just so intense.
Right.
You're like, call. And I always say, I mean, and obviously because of the format, like Zumba is just about having a good time and getting
right.
some movement,
right.
you know, some aerobic exercise. I'm like, it's just Zumba. Like, calm down.
Yeah, yeah. So right. you always had, and those are the people that go for that no pain, no gain. It's a certain mentality that goes into that, you know, because they feel like they need to overdo it in order to feel like they're getting somewhere. You know, how do you actually change that? How do you, you know, redirect that? It's a process.
Well, so let me ask you about that because I think that's a really interesting question because it has some parallels between fitness and taking care of yourself physically and kind of like how we approach life, right?
Because
as you're saying, it's a mindset.
Uh-huh.
And it's really interesting because a lot of those people I also see when they overexert themselves, and that's when you injure yourself,
yes.
right? That's when you actually impede yourself from achieving your goals because
right.
you're working super hard and then all of a sudden there's a muscle pull or a
absolutely.
Tear or
yes.
strain.
Yeah.
So when you're working with somebody like who comes in and maybe they've got some good goals, right? They've got,
yep.
so they're definitely trying to stretch, but they tell you kind of maybe like a time frame that's just, let's say, a little too aggressive, and it's probably going to more likely to injury than success.
Right.
Like, what do you say when you're working with that kind of individual?
Well, you know, I'm not trained psychologist or, you know, in psychology, but it almost slides a little psychology into it because I've done it long enough that I kind of know these people from the time they walk through the door. My main thing is trying to figure out where that is coming from.
Okay.
What is the stem of all this intensity? You know what I mean? And see if we can redirect that to maybe even bring it down a notch so that way they can kind of see how that could actually work opposed to the way they think it should work.
Ah, okay. So it's really trying to dig into what's causing that mindset.
Right, what's causing that mindset, for sure.
Okay. Well, and that makes a lot of sense. I'm kind of playing a detective here, but I really think that the way you're approaching personal training is a way that, like any good like business coach, like what I do does. It's like not only looking at the goals, but where those goals came from is important.
Right, right.
You know, it's interesting, and I don't mean to upset any of my listeners who are marathon runners, right? But like that was always one of the more fascinating things that we've decided is, you know, to do as a culture is marathon running, you know, 26.2 miles.
Yes.
And I think people forget that in the story of the actual, you know, the Greek marathon, it was a guy who was running from the Battle of Marathon to tell the Athenians that they'd won. He ran 26.2 miles in full armor, and then he died.
I didn't know that story, but okay.
Yeah, that's the actual story. That's the 26.2 miles.
Wow.
And, you know, and so I see people pick this goal of running a marathon, which is great, but then they, like, destroy their bodies in the meantime. Like, I think the chiropractic industry must be, like, secret supporters.
Right.
Or the orthopedic surgeon
right.
industry is, like, sponsors.
Yeah, it seems like it does. It's like some kind of corruptness going on there somewhere. But you know, the thing that really gets me, Dave, is when they say, you know, I'm gonna run to get in shape. A marathon.
Oh, geez.
You know,
it's kind of backwards, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you need to get in shape to run, not run to get in shape.
Gotcha.
Does that mean?
Yeah. Well, right. Such a simple flip. I mean, and so let me ask you this: like, when people are coming to work with you, and you've been in the industry now for a while, right? A couple of decades.
Yeah. You got that right. Nice way to put it. A couple of decades. Exactly what it is.
So, I mean, you've seen a lot. Like, what have you seen? What people are looking for from fitness change over time, or has it always been kind of the same?
No, it definitely has changed on some level. But, you know, the good thing about it, you know, staying on positive, is I see all different kind of people, you know, want different goals. But, you know, yes, but the people that I see that I attract mostly are the people who probably have done these things and have experienced these different things and ran these marathons. And now they're coming with a more grounded approach to fitness. Like, you know,
oh, okay.
And I, you know, this is where we're going to approach it. We're going to do it in incremental steps. You know, you're going to do this phase one, phase two, phase three, and repeat those phases. And we're going to take our time and get there, whatever that there is for you. And that's
right.
My approach. I take them from the beginning. I don't make any, you know, promises like, you know, we're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to get there. No, we're going to take our time and get there. You know, we're just going to walk down
sure.
and get them all.
Well, and it's interesting because that's actually how I got into fitness. I want to ask you how you got into fitness in a second, but for me it was, you know, going to the doctor, and it, definitely in my 20s when I was an entrepreneur, I really was not taking good care of myself, did not have a good diet, did not exercise, all those things. And my doctor was basically like, yeah, you're really, really unhealthy. And so my beginning was actually going to the YMCA and going on the elliptical machine for 10 minutes. And it sounds weird, but that was like, I mean, that was a start for me. And then like every couple of days, I'd go from like 10 to 12 minutes to 12 to 14 and kind of just build kind of, I mean, I'm sure if I'd had you along, I would have, you know, achieved things much more quickly. But that incremental mindset, I think, was really powerful.
Right.
and kind of let me get into being much more physically fit. I mean, I lost 40 pounds and, you know, now I teach fitness when I thought, you know, 10 years ago, if you told me I was going to be, an instructor at the Y, I would have laughed like really, really hard.
I think most good people, Dave, got their start from the YMCA because that's where I got mine from.
You know, it's a great organization, no matter where you go. I teach now both at the Y and at a couple other places around town here. But, one thing I've always really loved about the Y, even growing up in Milwaukee, we went to it, is just the community orientation. And I think that there's something really powerful about this idea of physical fitness and kind of mental and emotional fitness and community and kind of mashing that all up.
Right.
Which is really, I think, what at its best, that's what the YMCA kind of represents still, or at least it does to me.
Yeah. I haven't been to a YMCA in a while, but, that's what it was for when I was going to. I mean, it was a lot of family, stuff like that. And I think they did a great job with, as far as like keeping it fun, which is very important for, talking about wellness, having fun while you're, doing what you're doing, like walking or hanging out with a friend while you're, riding a bike, something like that. That, to me, is probably the best approach to wellness, because you got to have fun and joy. You can't say, I want you to get on that treadmill for an hour and your person hates the treadmill. Well, right? You know what I mean? That's not going to be fun, nor is it attainable, because they're not going to continue to do something they hate. Most people won't.
Absolutely. So how did you get into fitness? How did you get into, I said, you've been a fitness professional now for a couple decades. Like, what was the biggest thing that got you into where you are right now?
I think sports and my big brother, he's one that kind of, we used to do kind of these raw kind of workouts, he was always in wrestling or football or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he come with these ideas about how to work out that he'd learned from the guys he's working out with in school. So we start doing these push-ups. We take cinder blocks and put it on our chest and do sit-ups with them. This kind of stuff. I mean, this is what we did, on our porch.
I think as you're explaining this, we got to get like the musical montage from like the 80s movie. Like everybody's like, little Rocky theme.
Yeah, so that's where it all began. But I had some health issues when I was younger. I had a severe heart murmur, and that kind of got me interested in fitness. Though I didn't have, I would play a lot, but I don't think I was as healthy until like one of the guys in my neighborhood who was a Marine. He came home and was like, let's run around the block. I'm like, well, I'm going to die, if I run around that block.
Sure.
But he kind of motivated me, to make that whole run. I think it was probably about a good 5 miles was our block, because it was like a country block, not like a city block.
Okay.
So I ran that 5 miles, and by the time I felt really good. So I'm like, okay. So when he went right back to base, I continued to run like every morning, and that kind of got me healthy.
Nice.
And then one thing kind of led to another. And I, walked inside of YMCA, and I was pretty good shape. And the guy who was the head trainer there was like, you're in pretty good shape. You want to become a trainer? I'm like, yeah.
Why not? Sure.
Why not? Yeah. Get paid for it? Sure. And that started the whole thing.
Well, that's awesome. So what do you like about the personal training process? And I mean, because I think it's, as we're talking, it's obviously much more than just telling somebody, okay, hey, do 20 push-ups and 20 pull-ups.
Right, right.
I mean, it's really kind of about the relationship you develop with people. I mean, I kind of view a good personal trainer just like a coach, right? Just like,
yeah.
I'm a coach for people's businesses, and you're a coach for people's kind of lifestyle. What do you like about it best? Like, what brings you some joy?
I like the challenge of trying to find something different for each individual.
Mm.
That way, one person's challenge, gives you ideas to work with other people in certain ways that you never even thought of, because maybe they're limited in that way, but now you have to be creative enough to find something that works for that person. Well, guess what? That may work for someone else as well that has a similar problem or issue. So that kind of adventurous kind of ongoing learning, I think, is probably what I find the most joy. And then plus, helping them out where they think they're limited and finding that they're not.
Right. I gotta imagine that feels pretty good to have that person go, I can't do that.
Right.
And you kind of go, well, I'm not buying that. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Exactly.
And then seeing them do it.
And seeing them do it.
That's awesome. So when you're working out these days, like, what do you do to keep fit? Because we've met in the real world, and you're a pretty fit guy.
Yeah, I you know what? I've changed up my workout a lot. You know, you talking about, you know, if you met me, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you know, I probably wasn't the best person to basically train with during that time because I didn't have the knowledge. I was basically a bodybuilder for many years. So my training was very limited to a certain structure of way of training, which is what I call very linear. So it's basically just a push-pull kind of thing.
Okay.
You do very little athletic training, you know, which is more lateral and working sagittal planes and all that kind of stuff. We didn't do that in bodybuilding. So I don't know. I was probably the best person to train then, but I could definitely help you, you know, push a lot of weight because that's what I did.
Sure.
But now, you know, I scale down a bit. I do basically 3 days a week, and I do full body, and I rest in between sets about a good minute to each body part. Do at least three times around, and that's my workout. And I cover everything.
So super simple.
Yeah, super simple. You know, it just keeps me, you know, maintaining where I am. I don't need to get any bigger. I don't want to get any smaller. So I'm just maintaining where I am. I mean, I've done this long enough that I have a pretty good foundation from all the years of doing it. So now it's just maintain it.
Gotcha. Are there any other kind of modalities that you mix in besides the weight training? Or is for you, weight training is kind of like the – because I found that, like, everybody has, like, one kind of – format that they really, it just fits with them and they really like. But is there anything else that you mix in there?
I changed the same way I changed up my client's program, like at least within a month, I changed mine up as well.
Mm. That's awesome.
So I do something different, you know, within those 3 or 4 weeks of changing, I'll do something different with the program, but I'm still doing full body.
Okay. So, gotcha. So here's the question I want to ask, and then I'm going to give you a chance to think about it for a second.
Okay.
So when you're in the gym, when you're doing your workouts, what are you listening to? So I'm going to give you a chance to think about that for a second. And in the meantime, everyone, you are listening in to Beer, Beats, and Business. I am your host, D. Fish. If you want to reach out to me, please shoot me a message. The easiest way to do that is on Twitter. I'm at D. Fish Rockstar. Would love to hear your questions, comments, feedback, opinions. Again, reach out to me, but don't do it if you're driving right now. Of course, wait till you are done driving. And if you're liking what you're hearing, please be sure to hit that subscribe button and, of course, give us 5 stars on iTunes. And today my guest, again, is Dietrich Horsey. He's the owner of Dietrich 21 Personal Training. He's been a fitness professional for over 20 years. And what's great is he's really committed to making sure that his clients develop a sustainable lifestyle through comprehensive training. I think you're hearing that today. Dietrich, what is the best way for people to find out more about you and get in touch with you?
You can contact me on the website at www.d21.fit, or you can also find me at 739 Main Street in Evanston.
Beautiful. Evanston, Illinois. So make sure to reach out to Dietrich. So when you're working out, what are you listening to?
You know what? It all depends. It all depends, what kind of, my mindset going into it. Now, most of them, this is like some house or techno music, something like that.
All right.
Or I may do some, like some, old school rap, something like that, or hip hop. Or occasionally, if I'm doing some crazy leg work, I'll listen to some heavy rock, man.
So what about the legwork makes you want to listen to heavy rock?
You know, when I was competing, you know, I used just this, what is it called? Wow, I wish I had the name of it. It was almost like thorn, corn, like corn.
Corn, okay.
Yeah,
taking me back.
Yeah, yeah, and Godsmack was another name of the group that I was listening
wow.
to. I'm listening to those. It's almost like, you know, it just got me pumped up for some reason. I'm not even sure why, but that was my leg work music.
All right, I like it. When you were listening to the old school hip hop, what does that mean to you? Because I'm a huge fan, but I've realized that people have different definitions. So when you were listening to old school hip hop to get pumped, what was it?
Probably like some Snoop Dogg, something like that, you know.
Okay.
Big Snoop Dogg with the lead pussycat. Natural Born Killer, you know, that's always a good one.
So basically happy music.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's the hell. It's not Natural Born Killers actually happy because.
Oh, no, trust me. I'm being highly sarcastic. But it is really interesting that there's this connection because, you know, I know even when I would go into the weight room, which was not that often, but I would. And it, like, my playlist was all like Cypress Hill. You said like Snoop.
Yeah.
You like some Eminem, like just like it's there's something about that very testosterone driven music that just makes you want to pump iron, which is a really weird connection.
It is a weird connection.
but it works. I still remember when I was in high school and I used to be a cross country runner, and for the record, I was awful. I was on the team because they didn't cut, and I made everybody else feel better about themselves. But the guy who would pick me up to go to the races on Saturday morning, who lived by me, his kind of ritual was Black Sabbath War Pigs, the War Pigs album. He had it on cassette tape, right? Because we're going old school.
Right, cassette tape.
To this day, like, that's still like, I got it specifically because it will pump me up. And I'm like, you know, little War Pigs, just little Ozzy screeching.
Yeah. I don't know anything about War Pigs. You got me on that one. I thought I knew almost every group. I mean, I knew a little bit of AC/DC. There's another good group to listen to.
Oh, yeah. It's Black Sabbath. It's like the first Black Sabbath album. I think it's actually from Black Sabbath. The name of the song is War Pigs.
Okay.
Check it out. It's an awesome tune. It will get you going for sure.
I'm going to play that on my workout day on Friday.
I love it. Dude, tell me how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's going to be a good leg one because it's kind of a slow song. But so now I totally want to just come to your studio and like listen in. Although, and then techno, I'm like, all right, house, all right, a little Chicago house. You must have felt good, you know, being in Chicago, listening to Chicago house, the birthplace.
Yeah, you know, I listen mostly to the house music. I guess it's kind of like it's more Miami kind of house and stuff like that. It has that kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. We'll still like you.
Still like you.
we'll let that one slide. Well, wait, and speaking of music, so this is a rumor I heard. Did you take up the saxophone lately?
I started playing sax probably about a couple of years ago. Now, I haven't played in a while now, but I had one of my clients who has every sax known to man, I think. He started giving me lessons, you know. And I'm not really one to read music either. I'm more of a by ear person.
Sure.
You know, and I got the idea because my father, who's passed now, we used to listen to Lou Donaldson, this old sax player from Philadelphia, and he had this one particular song that we just used to groove to, like every time, you know, we'd go up to his house and take, and we basically would sit there on the porch, and you know, it was one of those kind of things, you know, it just has some nostalgia to it. So
sure.
So I'm like, I gotta learn that song, you know. And so my
That's
guy
awesome.
Randy, you know, I'll teach how to play. And one of my clients just had to give me a sax that his son had. So it was like a starter horn. I'm like, this is awesome.
That's so cool. Well, and it's funny because I think, you know, I'm going to kind of draw a parallel. You know, you in your personal training talked a lot about how you have to kind of mix things up and you have to kind of work out all the different parts in different ways and keep things fresh and interesting. I think you could even look at that like with life, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you've obviously, you know, dedicated your life to being really knowledgeable about fitness and helping other people, but it's not just about the physical, right? It's about,
right.
You know, trying, in this case, some culture, some art, or, you know, I love, in some ways, it's like when people hear that I write books and I'm a speaker, and then I'm like, oh, no, but I also write poetry, and I like, you know, teaching Zumba. Like, the more parts, and I guess the more well-rounded you are,
yeah.
Like, the better life works.
Yes, it does. Right. When you're not so stuck in your ways that you're not open to other things, life continues to give.
That's a great way of putting it. I love it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I think you need to practice that up a bit, and then you can like make some tracks with your saxophone. We'll work together. We'll get some house beats behind it, and you can actually work out to yourself.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Every once in a while, my fiance will come into my office, and I'll actually be listening to my old band, right? Some of our CDs.
Right.
And she'll be like, wait, isn't that your band? I'm like, yeah, this is good stuff. Right? We always played stuff we liked because we didn't know if anybody else would pay attention. So, yeah, I'm jamming to it.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, hey, Dietrich, this has been a great conversation, but I want to wrap it up with the same question that I ask all of my guests. If you could give one tip to somebody to make today a little better, what would that one tip be?
Balance.
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 What does that mean to you?
Balance means that you almost like the yin and yang of life. So basically you want to have a little bit of everything, but not too much of one thing. Balance.
Perfect. Perfect. Dietrich, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
As always, thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links to the topics in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. You can also share this episode through social media and leave reviews through iTunes, Stitcher, or any of your favorite podcasting services. This episode, like all others, is brought to you by our regulars over at Patreon. If you'd like to be one of the people with your own spot at the bar, we'd love to have you. Visit patreon.com/B3 and become a regular today. Want to get in on the conversation? Easy. Send DFish a message on Twitter at DFishRockstar. And we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business.
You have a good time?
That was good, man. Great time. It was awesome. It was very relaxed. You know what I mean? It just kind of flows.
Good. That's the goal. So, that was a great conversation, and I look forward to running into you around Evanston.
Sure will.
You'll have to tell me how you like War Pigs.
Yeah, I will, man. I'll let you know. For sure.